Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about, well, you know it, fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. That's right. It's just me here today, and our producer excellente, Mr. Brian Farlow, he's answering the phones, and he's relatively friendly, you know, so, you know, he can't bite you through the phone, but he's a good guy, and you know, he doesn't suffer fools well, but if you, you know, if you call in and you want to go on the air, we're more than glad to take your call at 410 WCBM 680. You're running a show this morning. I don't have a whole lot. I mean, I really don't. I mean, there's a couple things going on, but we want to talk about what you want to talk about this morning. I mean, you want to talk about the weather? Okay, we'll talk about the weather. You want to talk about, I don't care. I really don't. Yeah, I mean, not that I don't care. I'm a very caring individual. It doesn't matter what the subject is, because since I am well-versed in all aspects of everything in my world, with experience and experiences that just do nothing but increase my knowledge, just, you know, feel free. Challenge me today. You know, I mean, ask me any question. Can God make a rock too big that he can't lift it? There's a question for you. You know, right, come on. Help me out here. 410-922-6680 is my phone number. Well, it's not my phone number. It's a phone number for the station. And that gets you to Brian. And then Brian, if he feels like it, will put you through to me to talk about whatever your subject is. Anyway, hey, the new issue of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly finally arrived. It's in starting to be in stores. It is online at MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com. You can view the whole thing online if you like, and we would ask you to do so. This is the issue where we do our once a year fishing outlook. We don't cover fishing in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly on a regular basis, but we do in the spring issue. So we talk about a variety of fishing subjects. We talk about the invasive species. Blue catfish, flathead catfish, and snakeheads. There's some new fishing regulations going into effect. And, I think we've talked about this in the past. The number 3 and number 4 trout closures have been eliminated statewide. That means after opening day on March 28th, every one of the put-and-take trout waters will be open for the remainder of the year. And the DNR Fishery Service will continue to stock throughout the spring, but will not be closing the streams during the stocking period. How do you like that? This will increase the number of days open for fishing, as well as mitigate the impacts of poaching. It will also reduce the loss of fish due to extreme weather events and allow greater access to the fish in publicly accessible waters. The number 1 closure period has been removed from the Sidling Hill Creek watershed and the Flintstone Creek watershed. The long closure period in these areas increased the risk of high water, causing trout to move out of publicly accessible areas. Regional biologists have also documented episodes of high pH that may increase fish mortality or cause fish to move out of the stocked areas. Allowing fishing immediately after stocking will also help reduce the chances that these problems affecting fishing success. Lastly, in non-tidal waters, the Little Hunting Creek catch and return trout fishing area has been expanded to include all of the areas of the creek within the boundaries of Cunningham State Falls State Park. This was done to protect and enhance the high-quality trout fishery in that creek. So if you're used to going up to Cunningham Falls and catching and keeping fish, it's now catch and return. So there you go. That's the information. That's the kind of information you'll find in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly Spring Issue. We've got an article about state records, an article about wild trout, article about walleye, northern pike, and muskie fishing, how to release a muskie, the muskie and pike angler creel survey. Our buddy Tim Sherman wrote a story on small boat striped bass fishing. Tidal bass, summer bass on the reservoirs, and more. Just pick one up when you get a chance. We got them in Clydes, but that's the only spot right now around the Baltimore area where you can find them. Maybe at Catonsville Linex, but it's been a tough week. I lost all of Thursday because of course, the snow, but we'll be out there today putting them out yesterday and today. Yesterday was Southern Maryland. Wednesday was Western Maryland. So from Taylorsville West, we got them. So let's see. When did that happen? Huh. All right. We got a caller. There's Mark in Reisterstown. I'm glad to hear from Mark. Let's see what Mark has to say. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my telephone call.
I'm
a first-time caller. And anyway, I thought maybe I'd ask a question that a lot of people might be interested in knowing the answer to, and that is recently my father passed away, and as I was going through some of his stuff, I noticed his fishing stuff, and some of it's outdated, and some of it is still good. But my question would be, I've always been interested in fishing. He used to take me fishing as a little kid. What do you think it would cost for someone like me to get started back in the hobby again?
Price of a fishing license?
Yeah, I know that. I understand that. And plus, approximate figure for, say, you know, the average fishing rods and some tackle box material, things of that nature.
Oh, okay. You basically just want to get set back up again. Well, get a reasonable, you can get a very good serviceable rod and reel combination for, I don't know, $60, something like that. Visit, you know, Clyde's Sports Shop and see what you like. What kind of fishing are you going to do? You're going to be doing bass fishing or trout fishing or general fishing or pan fishing or just whatever bites the line. You know, I would say a reasonably priced spinning rod and reel combination with some quality line. And you can certainly use your father's stuff, you know, if you like, for artificial lures. But to get, you know, set up properly with, you know, some decent hooks and weights and bobbers and that type of thing, or maybe some artificial lures. I mean, fishing is not an expensive habit unless you want it to be. I mean, you can invest $40,000 in a bass boat and, you know, $10,000 in tackle if you like. But you can also go out there for under $100 and just have a great time.
Okay. So things haven't changed radically that much, you would say, within the past 30 or 40 years. They're pretty much the same?
It's pretty much still a stick and a string.
Very good.
You know, and a winch and a lever. That's about it.
Yeah, very good. Well,
yeah. Let me say this. You asked things haven't changed drastically. Yes, they have. The components that go into making the equipment, like fishing rods, for example, we don't have the old fiberglass rods anymore. Well, we do if you like that, but you can certainly find a very reasonably priced, much higher quality, what they call graphite rod now, or composite rod with very sensitive feeling to it, that you can detect the bite of the fish. The line has improved dramatically, depending on, you know, what you like. The reels have become smoother. Some of them have become higher ratio retrieve, which means you can bring more line in with one turn of the handle. I mean, it's all in what you like. But if you're in a budget thing, and, you know, you say, well, I can only spend $50 on a rod and reel, like everything else, you're going to get what you pay for. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to get what you pay for. So
it's nice to know that technology, you know, with the advent of technology, it's nice to know that it's entered into and made its application into the fishing world.
Well, it has, but, you know, and again, you can get as high tech as you want to get. You can find out, you know, modular graphite and, you know, the all the chemicals that go into your fishing, or you can just go fishing and have fun.
Right.
You know, that's the deal. You just go fishing and enjoy yourself, you know. That's what it's all about. And we're on the cusp here of fishing season. We're on, you know, the trout stocking once the weather gets to where it's supposed to be here, and we have a real March. I would imagine that the stocking efforts are going to be just increased all over the state dramatically. I would suggest that the perch run is going to kick off here this weekend or next week in all the tributaries. And, you know, the fish are there. They're going to spawn anyway, regardless of ice or whatever else. They're going to be there, but it's a matter of access. So you're going to see some crowded stream banks this coming week when the weather finally gets into the 40s and 50s and the water temperature starts doing what it's supposed to do. So, but, hey,
who's
look.
Who's the department that I should contact to get a license?
You can go to any fishing tackle store and get a license right there at the counter.
Like okay.
Yeah, I mean, you're in Reisterstown. Yeah, it's not a trip to not a big trip to Clyde Sports Shop, one of our sponsors. He's in off Beltway Exit Number 9, Hammonds Ferry Road, and they'll set you up with a license right there. You know, or you can go online to the Department of Natural Resources, and that website is dnr.maryland.gov. You can go to the Fisheries Service, or you can go to the Compass system. You can buy your license online if you want with your credit card and print it out right there on your home computer.
Excellent. Very good. Listen, I appreciate the time and the information.
Sure. Well, I hope you call me back in a couple of months and tell me that you've started fishing again and you're enjoying yourself.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
All right. And Mark, by the way, I am always looking for older fishing lures and tackle.
Okay.
Something that your dad might have had back in the 50s or 60s. I'm interested. Mm-hmm. So I could potentially finance your first fishing adventure.
I think I do got some old stuff, as a matter of fact. I got to go into look into that box that I got sealed with duct tape, open that up, see what's in it.
Hey, there you go.
Back with you. I'll definitely get back with you on that.
All right. Well, if you want to leave your number, I'll call you, too, either way.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. I'll let you do that and call me back here on the show, okay?
Thanks a lot.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Mark.
All right.
See you, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I hope to hear back from Mark. That would be great. That first coffee's pretty good, isn't it? All right. If you're joining me for coffee, that would be great. If you you want to slurp a little bit along with me, that would be excellent. But while you're slurping, give us a call here at 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. If you're listening outside the local Baltimore area, like on the shore or even out of state, if you're listening on your computer, you're certainly welcome to email me, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, or you can call here toll-free if you're in Maryland and outside of Baltimore, 1-800-WCBM-680, 800-922-6680 is our phone number. So there you go. Hey, I want to tell you about an event coming up. This is coming up on April 26th. That's a Sunday, noon to 6. It's a fundraiser, and then followed by a live concert at Timonium Fairgrounds. This is Operation Second Chance, the No Person Left Behind, the NPLB banquet to support the Wounded Warriors. And the tickets are $35 for a single ticket, $55 for a couple. Kids under 10 are free. There's a bull roast, a live auction, a cash bar, and then the concert after one is a tribute band to Fleetwood Mac and Stevie Nicks. And that's after 6 o'clock. If you don't go to the banquet, you can come in after 6 for 10. Give Mark Hoke, my buddy Mark, a call at 301-674-4234. That's 410-674-4234. Or Susan Peacock. If you live in the southern part of the state, down around, you know, the Laurel or that area, southern Maryland, 301-775-7738. 301-775-7738 to support our wounded veterans. It's a No Person Left Behind banquet coming up on April 26th at Timonium Fairgrounds. You'll enjoy it.
This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, spray-on bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bed liners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bed liner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer, blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bed liner from Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
All right, let me tell you about Chesapeake Outdoors. I said we're on the cusp of some great fishing this coming week. Well, they're ready for you. They are absolutely ready for you, that's for sure. They've got the live bait, frozen bait. They've got everything you need, rods, reels, and tackle for the bay, for the tidal rivers, even freshwater. You name it, they've got it for fishing. They've been stocking the shelves. And, look, they're getting ready for big striper season coming up next month. They've got the big mojo baits in there. They've got some very nice custom trolling bucktails and things like that. In custom colors, they've got the selection of spankin' striper back parachutes and bucktails. And, of course, I want you to stop by and check out the sales. There's still some sales going on the hunting equipment. You know, the season's over, the guns and select bows and outdoor clothing. Check all that out, but especially get ready for that upcoming fishing season at Chesapeake Outdoors. First choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers, located on Route 50. East, exit 39B, just across the Bay Bridge, headed east, and you'll see them right there on the right. You just get off that exit 39B, Dominion Road, and you will find Chesapeake Outdoors rocking and rolling for fishing season. 410-604-2500. That's 410-604-2500.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Hi, Baltimore. This is Mark Levin, and now you can hear 3 hours of my show every weeknight at 7 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Well, waterfowlers, those of you who are in the waterfowl world, We have some excellent news for you. This week, the House of Delegates, on House Bill 170, this is the Maryland Hunting Coalition-led initiative on strict liability, the move through the House of Delegates on Wednesday without a negative vote, 137-0. This bill passed the House of Delegates. Senate Bill 88, the companion bill, was locked up in committee. Last Friday, it did not look good. Not look good at all. And I'm not going to get into the inside baseball details, but it wasn't looking good. Thursday night, after quite frankly, our lobbyist, our advocate in Annapolis, worked 24/7, working his magic, enlisting his allies, pulling every imaginable tactic that he could possibly do, the Senate Environmental Matters Committee reversed their not looking good part and came out with 10 positive votes and one abstention out of an 11-member panel, and advanced the bill to the full Senate coming up on Tuesday. I will tell you, we are tickled at this. Maryland Hunting Coalition, this was actually our signature initiative. Strict liability simply addresses the subject of waterfowl baiting. The Maryland law on waterfowl baiting is more restrictive than the federal law. We think people who bait waterfowl are disgusting, and we don't want to make it look like we're trying to make baiting easier. What we are trying to do is save people's reputations who have had nothing to do with a baiting charge when the Department of Natural Resources, DNR, Natural Resources Police, will come into a waterfowl situation and charge people with baiting who had no knowledge that the bait was there. The scenario goes like this. You book a trip with an outfitter. You're in the blind, in the dark. When it gets daylight, Natural Resources Police come into the field and say, all of you are guilty for baiting, whether you had any knowledge of it or not. And this law simply says we need to comply the egregious Maryland law with the federal statute that says that the officer has to prove his case. The officer has to prove, okay, that you intended to bring birds to the gun by the use of bait. No longer will an officer be able to find corn in a cornfield and say you're baiting when you're waterfowl hunting. People who bait, we believe, should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. People who don't bait should not be found guilty in the field with no recourse. That's all this law does, is it makes Maryland law comply with federal law. The Congress changed the federal law on baiting and changed the strict liability statute in 1998 or 1999, and Maryland remained a strict liability state till now. We are on the cusp of history here. Just all I wanted to say. Let's talk to Bill in Crownsville. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good morning. How you been?
I've been good. How about you?
I've been listening to you guys since FBR, so I go way back.
Yeah, I guess. Okay.
I'm showing my age. Let me shut this radio off here 2 seconds. Shut up, radio. Okay, now, so what I want to do is I want to ask you about this. I got this little baby German Shepherd. My other one, Max, died. I used to own Bill's Transmissions up in Glen Burnie. I'm not trying to put in a plug in for myself or nothing like that, but I had this German Shepherd, and it died. And
no,
hardly. 14 years old, and then now I got this new one. And this new one is I got it when it was 4 pounds, and now it's 25 pounds. And what it does, it runs out down here in Arden, where I live down by Crownsville. It runs down into the backyard, and then it grabs these pieces of deer carcass that this guy that catches deer is across the street. Back into the way, because it's like a valley that you go down through, and the dog goes down there and it grabs these legs and this and that, whatever teeth. My mom calls them deer dentures because it keeps coming back with the teeth from the deer. So we mentioned something to him, and my mom is the president of Arden and the community association, whatnot, and she mentioned something to him, and they said that he is allowed to go ahead and put them deer carcasses in his backyard and throw them out into the woods. And even though our property goes up against his and this and that and the other, he's allowed to throw all his deer carcasses out there. So I don't know. I mean, it seems kind of crazy to me. It's just because the dog keeps... I mean, I'm telling you, I've filled up two of those recycling bins and had to take them to the dump of deer carcasses.
So your question is?
My question is, what do you think about it? Is it okay for him to just keep on throwing them out in the backyard, or should we just leave it alone?
So let me get this straight. You have a puppy who has found a cache of deer carcasses that a person who has discarded.
Yeah, people on the other property and they're throwing them out there. So
I got that. Let me. I'm trying to get this cleared up for myself and for our listeners. Okay.
Right, and also he likes to age his deer meat, I think. He likes to let it hang for so long or something or other.
All right.
Which is okay with me. I don't care. He can let it hang there until the hell freezes over. All my concern is do you think that's cool, or do you think, maybe we can... Because he told, you know what happened next. He said, why don't you put your dog on a leash, and then you don't have him running over and getting deer carcasses. That's also another thing.
Well, I've tried to address this now three times, and you've interrupted me three times.
I'm sorry.
So I'm trying to build this picture. You have a fella who apparently hunts deer and is successful at it. And on his own property, he discards the carcasses.
Right.
All right. So
and we already called him up, and they said it's okay. He's allowed to do that.
I got that, Bill. I'm trying to build the scenario, okay?
Let me shut up.
That would be good, yes, for now. All right. So this fella kills a deer. He home butchers it. He hangs the carcass to age it. And whatever remains, the hide, the legs, the head, and so forth, is discarded on his own property. And your concern is that your dog crosses the property line and, as a predatory animal will do, finds a prey animal and enjoys bringing back a piece of that to play with onto your property, correct?
That's correct. He's just a puppy, so you know that's going to happen.
Okay.
I should say she is just a puppy.
Okay.
Her name's Misha. So.
Okay. Now, you're in Anne Arundel County, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Crownsville,
okay. Are there leash laws in Anne Arundel County?
Well, apparently not my... we're in Arden, and everybody's dogs run loose.
But your mother's the president of Arden.
That's correct.
Okay. So even if there were leash laws, because of your political connections to your mother, who's the president of Arden, she finds that this is okay, that your dog runs loose in the neighborhood and across the property lines. Is that correct?
I'm afraid that's probably true.
So it's the guy's fault on the other side of the property line.
No,
that you're...
I'm not saying that. I'm
trying to understand what you're...
The thing about it is that I've got this... I'm just wondering what your feelings are about people throwing the deer carcasses out in the backyards. Do you think that's okay, or do you think they should
I wouldn't do it, but I don't know the circumstances, Bill. I mean, Crownsville is a pretty wild area in certain places. You know, this guy may have a spot where he discards these deer carcasses, and, you know, they may return to Mother Earth, you know, ashes to ashes and dust to dust where he is.
Well, that's what the Department of Natural Resources told my mother, because she called him up. You believe that? And it was on at that point. Now he said, well, you know, he's in the right. You know, it's his right to do that. So, and they want him to decompose and go out there and lay in the woods and be dead, and then puppy dogs go out there and get the bones, and that's what happened.
Well, I don't think that that's actually what they desire, to have your dog cross the property line and go over there and disturb those carcasses. I don't really think that's what the intent of the Department of Natural Resources is. I think it's a private property thing.
That's what they said. They said that.
I think it's a private property thing, Bill.
Yeah, it is.
And, I mean, Bill, I mean, I know you had Bill's transmissions in Glen Burnie, and, I mean, I'm not trying to give you a plug or anything, but you're wrong on this one.
Well, I'm not trying to be wrong. I'm trying to ask you what your opinion is.
I just told you my opinion. It's a private. I just told you my opinion. It's a private property issue in this case.
Well, I'm not trying to be on the wrong side of this issue. I love hunting.
I understand.
And I love all that. So I think if that's what it is, then I just.
I mean, look, if it were me on my property, I would attempt to bury those carcasses, quite frankly. But, you know, if they're in an area that is not visited by people, and the only access to those carcasses is by your dog, then it's a dog issue. It's a control my dog issue, in my opinion.
True. I knew that was going to be the next thing, is to get your dog on a leash. That's what he said.
Yeah, yeah,
that was his answer.
I mean, not even that. I mean, it's just, you know, yeah. If you don't want him bringing back the deer carcasses, and you know that situation, and he's not going to do anything about it because he's well within his rights to do that.
Oh, he is.
Then you are the guy that needs to control your critter.
That's what he said.
Well, in this case, buddy, I got to agree with him.
So do I, and I'm all for everybody be able to free do what they want. But you come down on the Severn River, and we'll go down here by one of our five beaches, and we'll take you fishing down here with them little simple rods that we don't have to spend no money.
All right, Bill. All right, thank you for the call. See you, buddy.
Bye.
See you. There you go. Let's talk to Mike Kent Island. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Alan, I'm great, but I've been a listener for probably 20 years.
I've been here 26, so there you go.
I've been there a lot of time. When I'm on working Saturdays, I'm actually going from Kent Island, just went by Chesapeake Outdoors.
There you go.
Great store, by the way.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
Every morning when I hear your ad on Saturday.
Yep.
I'm up toward Newark, so I got a nice long ride.
Mm-hmm.
I had to call in with this guy. I don't know where it comes from. I didn't think they started drinking it. 5:30 in the morning.
Well, you know. Hey, look, he's all right. I mean, he seems like a decent guy. He just wants somebody to affirm his position. And I didn't do it. And I don't feel bad about it. I mean, I don't have deer carcasses willy-nilly all over my property. I have deer there. But I live in a quarter acre lot in Baltimore County, so I'm not going to put a deer carcass out in my yard, you know. So.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know the situation with him and his mother, whether he lives with his mother. I will tell you, I live on the north end of Kent Island. My one mother does live at the south end, and her next-door neighbor is an avid hunter. Doesn't matter what he is. He's a good hunter. And he used to age his deer right on the side by the fence. It did offend my mother, but, you know, she knew there was nothing she could do about it. It's just, it's his property.
Well,
you know,
you know, some people have no regard. And this guy, like I said, I don't know the situation. Crownsville, have you ever been through Crownsville?
Oh, sure.
It's a wild and woolly place. Yeah. It's full of hills and valleys and ravines and rocks. And, I mean, it's nasty in certain places down there.
Certainly not Glen Burnie, that's for sure.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Nor is it Randallstown, where I live. So, you know, there is what it is.
So. But anyway, I figured I'd give you a buzz. It's been a long time listening. But I will tell you, I used to live in Hillsboro, and boy, you wait till next week in 2 weeks and trying to drive 50 and 404 on a little tributary for all the cars to pull over. If anybody out there has never seen that on the Eastern Shore, and I'm sure they do it up near Baltimore area, but on the Eastern Shore,
they will
just pull right off a superhighway, 50, 404, whatever,
yep.
And throw their right off the bridge.
Yep.
Throw their canes right in the water.
So, no question. Absolutely.
Anyway, have a good one.
All right, buddy.
Later.
See you. Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate it, Mike. Let's see. Who we got next? Let's go to John in Queenstown. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. For the gentleman that had the issue with inappropriate, or from his perspective, of discarding of deer carcasses, may not be the best to leave them out in the open. If that guy is feeding wild birds, such as vultures, you know, the guy whose dog it is, I would strongly suggest for him to keep his dog on his own damn property, keep it on a leash, keep it with a fence. He is creating a trespassing entity that is infringing upon the rights of that other guy. It's not the freedom for his dog to run willy-nilly all over the place, or it is for that person to be on horseback riding willy-nilly all over somebody else's property.
Ooh, John, you brought that in. Nice segue.
Oh, well, it just slipped in there. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. I like it.
The leash laws or anything else, that dog needs to be on that guy's property. Any more than his children should be on the property. And if he's a transmission shop owner, if somebody had a feral child that was running up to his oil disposal or hazardous materials disposal tank or bin or can in the back of the property or even in the property, because the child can run in there, well, children will be children, but they could get in there and get in on all the toxic materials. Would he feel the same way? If children were children, they just ran into his transmission shop and grabbed a shiny tool that they thought was clever and brought it home with them, because children will be children, would he feel the same way? I tend to think not.
You made your point, John. Thank you very much.
He has his responsibilities there.
Good man. Thanks, John.
Have a good day.
You too. See ya. There he goes. And Wesley in Westminster. Good morning, Wes. How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm okay.
That's good to hear. All right, I am I dump my deer carcasses down in my woods, and the birds love them, the foxes love them, and my kids eventually will find those skulls and bring back, and Dad, look what I found. I said, yeah, that's the one we shot about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and then we get to, I've got to sit down, and we've looked at the teeth and everything, and shown them how the deer grind their teeth and their, you know, the aging of the deers and stuff like that. So, you know, it's become a teaching point, too.
Okay.
Now, I haven't had anybody complain about it, and if their dogs got in there and took some, well, you know, they're welcome to them.
Hey, Wes, it's your property, the way I look at it. You know, now where it becomes a problem for me is if it's too close to the property line and those natural predators are dragging the carcasses all over my property. That's where it becomes a problem with me. But I don't believe that's a problem on your property. It could be. I mean, I've seen places where people who, the one farm that I hunt, and I'm not going to tell you which one, but the one farm that I hunt, the folks butcher their own deer. But there's, you know, 250 acres. They have a spot where they dump those carcasses. And you can go out there anytime and find the skulls and the legs and that type of thing for deer carcasses that have been there year after year after year after year. It's just the way it works. They, you know, there's nothing left after a while except a few bones. And nobody makes a big deal out of it because it's the culture. Hello, Wes.
I think it, you know, it's good for the land too. You know, I mean
it doesn't hurt. I mean, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt anything. I mean, you know what happens? What happens to deer that die in the woods, or you know, suffer some fate? You know, maybe a roadkill or something that goes, you know, that nobody picks up, and you see them all over the Eastern Shore laying in the, you know, 100 yards off the road in the fields, and you got,
right.
You know, the farmers aren't out there picking up those bones. They know what's coming. you know, all that stuff's eventually going to go back to nature. So, all right. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Wes. I appreciate that. We got to take a little break.
Right.
You have a good one. Hey,
again,
Wes, are you coming to our fundraiser?
Yes, probably not, most likely.
Okay, you've seen it. You probably saw it online or you've seen it somewhere. It's Saturday, May 30th, right there in Westminster.
All right.
At Martin's.
I saw it online the other day.
What's that?
I saw it online the other day.
Good deal. All right, thanks, Wes.
All right, you bye now.
See you, buddy. There you go. 410-922-6680. I got to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop. Clyde Sports Shop is having their annual sale. You know, this year they changed it. They usually had it like now, but it's been changed. It's been changed to Friday, March 27th through Sunday, April 5th, just in time for rockfish season. You can save on premium monofilament line. It's going to be half price during their sale event. The Penn Reel Special is going to be the GTI 330, a great level wine trolling reel for just $89.95 during the sale. Trolling combos also from $89.99. That's a Penn 309, a Shakespeare 6-foot rod with a roller tip and line. And the most popular trolling combo that they've got is going to be on sale. It's the Penn 330 GT2 Andy line and a 20 to 50 pound rod and line for just $139.95. Shakespeare and Fluger on sale, Ugly Stick rods on sale. Make sure you see the complete selection of St. Croix rods, all at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit number 9. They're ready for fishing now. The phone number there is 410-242-6108, 242-6108. The 24-hour fishing hotline that gives you the up-to-date fishing report every week is 410-247-3474, 247-FISH for Clyde Sports Shop. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. New location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Hey, it's Maryland Fishing Challenge, a free year-round tournament hosted by Maryland DNR Fishery Service for every recreational fisherman in Maryland. Eligible fish include all game fish from the Atlantic Ocean to the clear, cold mountain streams of western Maryland and Deep Creek Lake. 65 species of fish in 5 categories, freshwater, Chesapeake Bay and tidal, Atlantic Coast, catch and release, and even invasive species. There's also a youth division connected to the free online Maryland Youth Fishing Club. You catch a fish of a notable specified size, a big one, in other words, and receive your official angler award certificate. And when you get that, you get an invitation to the grand finale. That's at, that's in September, where you could win a Tracker Marine boat package, a fishing vacation from the World Fishing Network, Costa gear, tackle packages from Bass Pro Shop and Bill's Outdoor Center, and much, much more. Avoid cabin fever. The fish are biting now. They're biting under the ice at Deep Creek. They're biting on the Eastern Shore. They're biting in the Western Trout Streams. They're biting under the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. You get the idea. Now is not the time to stay indoors. Well, maybe right now is, but I mean later today, tomorrow, next week. Yeah, go fish. Just go fish. The official rules are online at dnr2.maryland.gov/fisheries.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Week in Review, now on Sundays from 2 to 4 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
trying to stay happy and positive here today, folks. Tell me something that's going to make me happy. 410-922-6680. Got a couple minutes left. Got one caller online. I don't know who it is yet, but we'll figure it out. And anybody that would like to call and cheer me up, tell me a joke or something, I would like to hear that. 410-922-6680. I know it's a risk, but we got to keep it clean. Just got to keep it clean. That's all. That's all. I don't care if it's a dumb joke. I know my buddy John out there. He's got a great sense of humor. So maybe he'll email me a joke. I don't know. We'll see. Who's on the line there, Brian? Oh, okay. I'm waiting. So the next challenge to the Maryland Hunting Coalition is Senate Bill 748, which would authorize the commercial sale of venison by farmers who killed deer on crop damage permits. Can you imagine what would happen if we would commercialize venison in this state? Some people think that's a great idea. Modern conservation movement started 100 years ago because we'd killed most of the wildlife in this country. We were down to 500,000 deer in this country. Now we have 30 million. The pronghorn antelope population was decimated. The wild elk population was decimated. Canvasback ducks right here in Maryland were hunted, market hunted. And all you got to do is go to the, decoy museum up in Harvard Grace and see the layout boats and the punt guns that they use to slaughter entire flocks of ducks in Maryland for market hunting. And it was the hunters who woke up and said, we have to sustain this population of wild animals or Homo rapien will wipe them out. And now we want to do this in Maryland with our deer herd? Give me a break. Look, you got a farmer or a group of farmers who get together and they decide that, okay, we're going to collectively pool our resources here and we're going to kill as many deer on our property as we possibly can on under our crop damage permits and sell them. And they set up a little cottage industry there. They figure out what they have to do to have them inspected and everything else, and then they go to market with a little farmer's co-op, let's say somewhere in southern Maryland, and they're selling deer meat. Now, they've got no investment in the resource. It's not like they're raising a cow or a pig, but they shoot a deer, the deer hits the ground, and then the state says, now it's livestock. That's what the bill says. We're talking about a wild animal here that belongs to no one and belongs to everyone. Under the public trust doctrine, the wildlife of this state belong to all of us as citizens of Maryland. They don't belong to the hunters. They don't belong to the landowners. They don't belong to the government. But under this legislation, if it were passed, Senate Bill 748, the farmers would then bring those deer into ownership and they become classified as livestock. Now think about this. No investment, okay? They haven't had to house those animals. They haven't had to feed those animals. Those animals live off the land for the most part. When there are no crops in the ground from let's say, late fall all the way through till those crops emerge in the spring, those animals are on their own. They're not eating anything that the farmers planted, okay? So the farmer has no investment, other than the bit of food that the animals eat when the crops are in the ground. So they kill them, they form a co-op, they have a marketing program, and they're selling wild deer meat. Let's say they're getting $10 a pound for it. Do you think for one second that there wouldn't also be an organized group of poachers who have no investment of any kind other than their time, would not go out and start to decimate the population of wild deer in Maryland? Both whitetails and sika fall under this, by the way, and decimate the herd of wild deer in Maryland to make a profit on it. Undercut the farmers and say to whoever buys it, who's not paying attention, hey, look, you know, it's legal to sell deer in Maryland. Why not buy them from us? We're only charging $5 a pound. I can see nothing good nothing good coming from this proposal. And the behind-the-scenes thing on this is just horrific, because we know the details. Horrific. This proposal was first floated in October 8th at a stakeholder meeting. Actually, it was probably floated in August in a secret stakeholder meeting with the Humane Society of the United States and the Maryland Horse Council and the Farm Bureau and the white buffalo people who make a living off of sharpshooting deer. Yeah, the public nor the hunting community wasn't invited to that meeting. We got to go to the meeting on October 8th where we heard this proposal. And then when the deer population management report came out the first part of the year, this idea was also floated in that. And the Maryland Hunting Coalition stood against it at that point. And we're going to continue to stand against it. And we need somebody to come and help us testify on this, or at least show up in Annapolis on the 17th who has the same amount of outrage that I do about this. Let's talk to Camo Preacher in Dundalk. Good morning, Camo Preacher. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Hey, first of all, congratulations on everything in Annapolis this past couple of weeks.
Thank you.
And you said you wanted to be cheered up, so I had a joke for you.
Okay, go ahead, real quick.
All right. Man's walking through the woods hunting and not having a terribly successful day, and he jumps a bear.
Right.
Well, the bear's a little irritated, decides to chase him, so the guy's running for his life.
Real quick.
Down the hill, comes to a clearing, and on the left side, he sees this tree that looks very climbable, and on the right side, he sees this little country church sitting there. So he's debating while he's running, should I climb the tree, or should I run into the church and hide from this bear? Well, he finally decides that he should probably climb the tree. Because you can't go into church with a bear behind.
Thank you, Camo Preacher. I like that one. I'm glad you got it in. Now get out, stay out, and stay safe.